All right, this morning I'm going to entitle my message, The Spirit of Excellence and Faithfulness. I believe it's an important topic that perhaps we have ignored for many years. So this morning I'm going to speak on this topic, and the text for this morning message is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 33 verse 26. Now that one is there's a typo error. It's not Deuteronomy 32, but chapter 33, verse 26, please. Here it says, there is no one like the God of Jeshurun who rides the heavens to help you. And it says, and in his excellency on the clouds. So the word that I would like to emphasize is his excellency. And the next scripture is Psalms chapter 8, please. Psalm chapter 8, verse 1 and verse 9. All right, here, Psalms chapter 8, the psalmist says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name. So excellence is one of God's name, and it is said in all the earth, and you have who have set your glory above the heavens. And verse 9 also continues to say, our Lord, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. It is repeated for emphasis. And then the book of Daniel chapter 6 verse 3. Daniel chapter 6 verse 3. Now this not only applies to God, but it also applies to people of God, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And here it says that this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and the satraps, because he says an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. Because Daniel has a spirit of excellence, and he distinguished himself above all the rest. And now the king was giving thought to putting him as the prime minister over the whole empire. And then Luke chapter 16, we'll read from verse 10 to verse 12. Luke chapter 16, verse 10 to verse 12. Here he goes and says that he who is faithful in what is least is also faithful in much. And he also is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you trust? Who will commit to you your trust, the true riches? And then verse 12, it continues to say, and if you have not been faithful in what is another's man, who will give you what is your own? So here ends the reading. Let us commit the time to the Lord for this morning message. Father Lord, every word that you've written, when we read it with faith, when we read it with the passion, we read it, Lord, with diligence, and with the heart of seeking you, with the heart of humility, you are going to impart something. Something that is precious. Virtue that comes from you. Come from the throne room of God. And therefore, right now, this morning, we want to commit this time and this session to you. Lord, I'm your servant. I unveil my lips to speak your word. Precious Holy Spirit, come. Come and speak through me, that life and spirit will flow out of my mouth. And not only mere words, but these are spirit and life, that it will be deposited in the hearts of the people, that the people will be inspired. They will have your spirit, and the spirit of excellence, and the spirit of faithfulness. So I pray, as I deliver this word, you will anoint my lips to speak, and that it will go into good heart and good ground, that it will yield forth, Lord, fruits hundredfold. In the name of your Son, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Now here we have established from the few scriptures that we've just read, that indeed God is an what they call the virtue of excellence, and the virtue of faithfulness is definitely, you know, in the various name of the Lord Jesus. And here I want to quickly define what is the meaning of excellence. Just want to take it for granted. Excellence means of very high quality and of very high standard. And then the other word, faithful or faithfulness, means when you're faithful, it means that you're being consistent, you're being reliable, you're being trustworthy, you're stable, you are dependable. You're someone that we can count on whenever we give you a task or responsibility. So it has got to do with adherence of promises, duties, responsibility, tasks, and instruction from a person. Indeed, it is a Christ-like quality. It is a Christ-like quality of being dependable, being stable, being reliable in your relationship with God and with other people, your fellow brothers and sisters and everyone around, not only believers in Christ, but also unbelievers. Faithfulness. Now, the God that we serve and worship is called His Excellency. And one of His name and title, as we have read in the scripture, is excellent. He's excellent of all excellences. And everything that God creates, He does it with excellence. And Psalms, as you read, and also others, Psalms 19 verse 1, it says that heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show His handiwork. And another Psalm 72 verse 19, it says, the earth is full of His glory. And therefore, our God is a God of excellence. Point number one, very good. And every creation, whether in heaven or on earth, you know, when He creates, as a hallmark of excellence. And when we look at the heavens, there is a magnificence and the splendor of the stars, of the galaxy, of the sun, and of the planets, and everything, and in the heavenlies are just excellent and full of His glory. And we look on the earth, earthly scene, you have grand mountains, you have meandering rivers, you have the vastness of the sea, you have the pristine lakes, and you have all the different shapes and the different colors and the different contours and the different, what we call, shades that you see in all our physical landscape. You see the beauty, you see the excellence that God has in all this creation. And in the book of Genesis, it says that when He created man, He actually formed us or created us in His image. And one of the images of God is His excellence. And therefore, God has actually put this DNA, what He call of excellence, in every one of us. And when we look at some architectural beauty or building like the Sydney Opera House, and we are in wonder of its beauty and its excellence. And therefore, there everything is excellent and top-rated. And there is a sense of awe and wonder. There is a wow factor when we look at something that is excellent. And there are many buildings and there are many projects out there in the circular world which exhibit marks and hallmarks of excellence. And when you go to the theme park like the Disneyland, when you look at the Hollywood production like the Shred, and the quality cars like the Lexus or the Mercedes or phones like iPhone, they have hallmarks of excellence. And nobody does it better than them. Be it the theme park or the movie production, the cars or mobile phones, there is that mark of excellence. And in the economy, there are so many organizations and the people out there who are very serious in what they do. And whatever they do it with their very best, with the spirit of excellence. And after we use and experience those products and services, we come feeling inspired. And there is, as I said, the cool and the wow factor. And when you witness and you experience excellence, you always wish, or you will always make a statement and say that I wish I could do those things. Because excellence inspires people. The spirit of excellence is present in the world. And many of these things, many of these people are pursuing excellence out of the wrong motive. Whether it's monetary reward, fame, earthly glory, or admiration, whatever it is. But in the kingdom of God, it is, the motive is different. And I will come to that later. But yet in the church, a good number of us seems to adopt an attitude of mediocrity. We just put in some mediocre effort, half-hearted, not doing our very best. And our work can best be described as average, if not shoddy. And this is not supposed to be the case. And it is a shame on us as Christians. And we need to restore this mark of excellence that God has put in every one of us. And if we are ever want to be a good and excellent witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, we must demonstrate this spirit of excellence in everything that we do. In the church and in every Christian, there must be this hallmark of excellence. And if we adopt a culture of excellence, any person who walks into the church, let's say he's an unbeliever, he will begin to sense excellence in every of our ministry, in the place, in the worship, in the sermon, and in the sound man, in the projectionist, in all the pastoral staff, and the backup singer, so on and so forth, the music, everything, they sense that there is a what they call mark of excellence. Now, when they walk into the church, they find that the people are friendly and warm, and the place is clean and tidy, and the chairs are very well arranged, and the way they dress and they conduct themselves are excellent. The whole place and the whole group of people is impregnated with these characteristics of excellence. And therefore, excellence honors God, and it inspires people. Now, though we can be people of excellence, we do not marginalize people. We welcome everyone. We welcome the poor. We welcome the needy. We welcome the social outcasts. We welcome the despised. We love them with the love of Christ. And we pray for the Lord to change their life around. And then to progressively walk in His ways. And eventually, they also will carry His hallmark of excellence. So don't get me wrong. All right. Next, I want to come in and define the meaning of ambassador. Because there is in the gospel, or rather in the epistle, and Paul often mentioned that we are the ambassador for Christ. And many of us do not know the full meaning of ambassador. And for this reason, I want to share with you two short stories. The first story is about Pastor Young sharing a story of how he went to preach in Brunei. And then he was invited by an ambassador to stay in the official residence. And when he was staying there, in the evening, there was a maid that came into the room and knocked the door and said, "Sir, the dinner is ready." So he walked out of the room and he was just neat and tidy and not very well dressed. So as he walked towards the dining table, and he could see that ambassador was fully dressed, very well dressed. So he felt somewhat embarrassed. And before he could reach the dining hall, he turned back. And he thought that there must be some important guests coming tonight as well to attend the dinner. So he went back to his room and he changed his clothes to something that is more presentable. And so after changing his clothes, he walked towards the dining table and the dinner was ready to be served. And then he noticed that there was no one else there except the ambassador and him. And so he began to ask, he said, "Are we waiting for some other guests?" And the ambassador said, "No." And so Pastor Young asked her, said, "Why in that case are you so well dressed for this occasion?" And then she says that, "I am the ambassador of Philippines." And he says, "I represent Philippines. And whenever I start the day, I always dress up well because I meet people and everywhere I go, I represent Philippines. And when people look at me, they will look at me as a representative from Philippines." So she keeps emphasizing the word that she represents Philippines. She is the representative of the Philippines. The way that she conducts herself, the way that she dresses, is a representation of the country and values of the country. And even if you go into the olden days, during the days of the empire, the same thing happens. And whenever a superior country conquers another country, and after the conquest, they will send an ambassador and what they call a team of entourage to go to that conquered country. And over there, they will establish themselves and they will begin to demonstrate and they begin to show to that particular country the values, the language, the culture, the technology. They show them all those things to represent their particular country, to show that their value system, their culture is far more superior than the conquered country. And over time, they would like to impart all these values and the culture to that particular country that they conquered. So the meaning of ambassador is this, that you are a representative of that country and that kingdom and that king. Therefore, if Paul says that we are an ambassador of Christ, he's saying that you are representing Christ, you are representing the King of Kings, and you are representing the Lord of Lords. Your conduct, your dressing, your attitude to work and to service are supposed to represent the values and the kingdom of God, which is a far superior kingdom, which is a righteous kingdom, which is the kingdom above all kingdoms, which is a kingdom that they will never end. And that's very, very important. So when you come to the church, we must not be misled into thinking that we can be mediocre and not be sloppy, and can be sloppy and shoddy, and that you think that God will understand. We need to renew our mindset on this matter. We have to carry all our work and all our services with the spirit of excellence. And we have to put our heart and our soul into every aspect of our Christian service. Whether we serve as an usher, whether we serve as a sound man, or whether as a projectionist, or when you're on roster, or a musician, or a backup singer, whatever it is, whatever role that you are given, we need to re-examine our mindset. We need to do our very best. And we come to church, we need to dress up well, neat and tidy for the Lord Jesus. And most of you want to excel in your career and in your business, whatever you are in, or even in your schoolwork, as a student. And you have no hesitation to put in your effort, put in your best, and put in your heart into your work, into your business, or into your study. Now, why is this so? Because it affects your future, it affects your income, and it affects your earthly advancement. And yet, when you come to church, in Christian service, we do not adopt this kind of attitude. But somehow we say that we can have a mediocre working attitude. And as I say, it is important that we restore this spirit of excellence, not only excellence, but also faithfulness in the church. So that when unbeliever comes through the door, when they come and see that every aspect of the church is filled with excellence. And even if they do not believe God, the first time they come to the church, when they leave the place, it will make them ponder seriously about the church and the God we worship. Why? Very simple. Because the unbelievers know for sure, these church people are definitely very serious with God and the things that they do for God, the God that they serve and worship. And they will respect us because of our testimony of excellence. And when God gave, He gave His very, very best, His only beloved Son, Jesus. The man found sin, and He's a very God, the Son of God, the man without spot and blemishes. And therefore, when God gave us anything, He gave us His best. And God expects excellence from all of us. And for that, I want to give you an example of how God was very displeased and upset when there was an absence of excellence in the presentation of the animal offerings in the Old Testament. This was recorded for us in Malachi chapter 1. There was a time in Israel when it degenerated, and then the priest comes to the temple and they will offer animal sacrifices to the Lord. They have a very casual attitude about those things. And therefore, they brought in animals with spot and blemishes, with lots of effects. Either the animal was sick, or they were blind, or they were lame, or their legs were broken, or had some other defects. And they will offer this animal for sacrifices unto the Lord. And over a period of time, the Lord was very displeased, and He spoke to a prophet by the name of Malachi. And Malachi had carried the burden of the Lord, and he came and he rebuked the people. And the prophetic word came unto the people, and it was recorded for us in the book of Malachi. And the word says, briefly, to paraphrase, it says that would a son honor his father? Sure. Would a servant honor, his master? Sure. Then he says that, and I'm not your God, and am I not your Lord and your master? And where is my honor? And where is my reverence in the areas of your offerings? And so he began to rebuke the people. He said, what's wrong with you people? When you come to the house of God and you make such an offering, you bring in animals that have got defects with spots and blemishes, those that are sick, broken legs, so on and so forth. And am I not worthy of the honor and reverence? He said that if you don't get my message, if you really cannot understand, he says that you have a king and your governor now that is reigning over you, a governor. He says that you bring this kind of offering and gifts to your governor, and let me see the response that will come from the governor. He said, would not he smash you, or would he not beaten you with men's stripes? Or he may even chop off your head. You just try offering such an offering to the governor and see what kind of response that you will get if you are not getting my message. And then this brings me to another experience that I had as a pastor. And as you know, as a pastor, the church people come and go for various reasons. And there was a family that actually migrated from a developing country. He came to Perth, and he was living in Perth for a couple of months, and he looked for a job. And he bought a lot of household things. And he began to, he got a job. And then finally, for some reasons, they got another offer from Sydney. And he decided to move to that place. But then he called me. He said that he had bought a few of these household items that he liked to get rid of. And he asked me whether I can help him by giving it to some of the church members. I said, sure, I would like to help you. So Pastor Irene and I went to his house and looked at some of the items that he wants to get rid of and wants to give it to the people. So when we look at some of these things, we say that actually some of these things, some of the items are actually suitable for the church. So we turn around and we ask him. He says that some of these items, you have problem if you give it to the church because we are relocating from Joondalup to Clarkson. And we need some of these things. And he says, pastors, he says that, I dare not suggest such an idea to give it to the church. The reason is very simple. He said that I was taught and raised that the Lord deserves the very best and the very new. And these are relatively new stuff, but they are still second hand. And therefore, I dare not suggest that idea to you. But if you are willing to take it for the church, please give it to the church. And Pastor Irene and I were so touched. It is so rare to see such a person with such an attitude. And when I go back, I was almost in tears. It's just that when Jesus met someone who exhibited faith all around Israel, he did not find anyone with faith, but he found someone out of Israel who exhibited the kind of faith. Incredible. And when I meet such a person, even though he's not going to be with us, I was very, very touched by his statement. I say, what a person with the spirit of a good attitude and with the spirit of excellence. Brothers and sisters, we need to renew our mind in this matter. And so, there are people, as you know, in the church, you meet all kinds of people. And there are also another type of people who says that after using the things for many years, whether it's a computer or other items, they will ring up a church and they may say things like this. They say, pastors, I have this old computer that I've used for 5 years and now I've upgraded to a new computer. But this 386 or 486, whatever 5-year-old or 4-year-old technology, I'm not going to use it. I thought of giving and donating this to a church. Now, what a contrast in attitude. Because the church is God's house. The church is not a garage. The church is not a spare storeroom for you, or junkyard, whatever, for you to get rid of and put into this place. This is God's house. This is God's temple. And God deserves the very best from all of us. And therefore, we must change our mindset on this matter. Now, if you imagine for a moment, if you cannot understand, I want to reverse the thing to you. If you are a man of high stature, if you are governor or whatever, or equivalent of the light, and someone, a friend of yours, come and say that I'm going to move house, I have a few junks around, whether it's a computer or a fridge or whatever, that it is very old. Now, I want to get rid of this. Governor or Mr. whatever, I want to give you as a present. How would you feel? You will be very offended. You think my house is a garage, my house is a junkyard. Whatever you don't want, you just chuck it to me and say that you're giving and donating this to me. Surely not. I'm sure now you begin to empathize, you know, what the Lord is trying to say. All right. So we come back to the church environment. So whatever you do, whether you serve as an usher, whether you serve as a sound man, projectionist, whether you are a backup singer, you musician, whether you are washing the toilet, cleaning the floor, whether you are preaching or you are teaching, well, no, don't adopt a mediocre attitude. Take it seriously and do it with excellence. How can I do these things better? How can I improve further and further in this arena of my work? And when you come to church, dress well, neat and tidy. You are not going to a beach for a swim. So don't come with what you call shorts or thongs, whatever. This is God's house. You're here to meet the King of Kings. You're here to meet the Lords of Lords. Now you may be turned around and ask me this question. What about the people in the third world country? Though they go to church with thongs, with shorts, with just ordinary t-shirt, that is fine. Why? Because that is what they have. These people are very, very poor. And therefore, some don't even have shoes, don't even have thongs. They can go barefooted. Now, when they come in all this attire, it is fine because that is the best that they are at that situation. And even God recognizes the plight of the poor in the Bible. And in the Old Testament, and if you are well-to-do, you know, you bring in animals like lamb and a goat as an animal sacrifices. But for the poor, God has catered. He said that if you're poor, I can fully understand. You only need to bring in a small, what they call turtle dove or pigeon as sacrifice. But even pigeon or turtle dove needs to be without spot and blemish. Put it in simple English. Though it is of little value, but yet it is quality stuff. No, not pigeons that are broken, legged, or half blind, or with spot and blemishes. The requirement is they also need to be of good quality. So that is what God is essentially saying. All right, you give your best within your capacity. Yeah, there are some people who are rich, there are some people who are poor, but give your best within your capacity. And that brings me to the second virtue, faithfulness. And Jesus says that if you are faithful in this, you will also be faithful in much. This is a very profound statement that people don't understand. Now all of us within here, we aspire to do great things. We aspire to do cool things. We aspire to do interesting things. Now we may say that these things that I'm currently doing, they are not interesting. They are boring. They are mundane. It is not for me to do. But hear carefully what Jesus was trying to say. He says that if you're not faithful in these small things, in these things, then he says that how can you be faithful in bigger things and more significant things? If you cannot be faithful in the mundane things, in the uninteresting things, then you cannot be faithful with interesting and exciting things and bigger things. And I put it in numbers. If you cannot give $100 out of $1,000 in your income, how can you give $1,000 out of $100,000? Or how can you give $100,000 out of $1,000,000? No way, because if you're unfaithful in small things and in least things, you cannot be faithful in much. Now I go further and press the thing and say to you, and say that some people say that, you know, because I only have $1,000, I give maybe $100 to the Lord. But if I cannot afford to give $100 to the Lord, I cannot give $1 or $10 to the Lord. Wait until I'm a millionaire, then I can give $100,000 to the Lord. Now, the implication in what Jesus is saying is this. If you cannot be found faithful in those small things, He will not entrust to you $1,000,000. So, whatever dreams that you have, forget about it. Because this is the divine principle. This is the kingdom principle. If you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? The fact of the matter is God desire to give you true riches, not the unrighteous mammons or money of the world. He desired to give you far better treasures of the kingdom that is of eternal value. And He's looking for people that He can entrust, whether it is a gifting, whether it is money, whatever it is, resources, whatever it is, He is looking for the people, a certain type of people. So He's looking for people who are faithful. Faithful in start off with small things. And then the next thing that He said, one more click please. The next thing says that if you have not been faithful in what is another person's or another's man, who will give you what is your own? And here God is essentially saying that he wants to give you eventually something that is of your own, that you own. You may be serving other people now. You may be in certain department. You may not run a ministry. You may not run a department. You may not own a building. You may not own, you may not run a church. But you may be what in ever least appointment that you are currently now. But if you are not faithful in what belongs to another person, then God says that I cannot give you the precious possession that eventually that you can call your own. Whether it's your ministry, your department, your buildings, whatever it is. So it is a very, very profound principle for every young man here. I have ever counseled a young man, as I said before, who resigned and left, give me 1 month's notice, I don't have to work very hard. I say, look, listen very carefully. If you want to run your own firm or you want to be a departmental head, if you adopt this kind of attitude, your progression will be retarded, will be hindered. I say you better change your attitude and you better work as though you're not resigning from this company. And he began to take the counsel, and when he worked through enough, the people, the colleague around him sense that something is different in this person. You are representing Christ. You are representing the values of the kingdom. So regardless what, you remain faithful to the organization, with the men, so on and so forth. Because the promotion is in store for you when you practice those virtues consistently over time. Now I come to the application, very specific application. So you need to demonstrate the spirit of excellence and faithfulness in all areas of your life. Not only in church, but in your family, in your workplace, in your community, in your schools, in your in the universities, consistent in all arena of your life. And let us examine some of the least things in the church. I'm going to be very specific. First thing is punctuality. The church starts at 10 o'clock, or whatever workplace you work, there is a start time. Church service starts at 10 o'clock, and therefore, in the area of what we call excellence, we need to come to church on time. Don't cut your time management too fine. You cannot say that, from my place to the church, it takes 10 minutes, you know, driving, and therefore I will leave 10 to 10. Because what happened, unexpected things crop up, or there are phone calls, so on and so forth, that you need to attend to, so on and so forth. You cannot cut your time too fine. Therefore, give allowance of at least 10 minutes or 15 minutes so that in the event and all these things, other things crop up, you know, you will still be on time. So punctuality, though it is a small thing, but it is a very important thing. And what about leaders' meeting? When a leader calls a meeting, same thing. You need to be punctual for your meeting. And if you cannot make it, all right, or you're late, you're running late, you just send in an SMS or a text, or whatever it is, to say, sorry, I'm late. Or you make a phone call. Things like this. This reflects in your excellence and your faithfulness in meeting those duties and responsibility. And when someone sends you the invite, ask you whether, reply by a certain time, whether you are able to attend. Do an RSVP by those deadlines. And therefore, we need to demonstrate excellence in every aspect of our church operation. And let's look, example, ushering. If you are asked to be here by a certain time, then please be here by a certain time. If you cannot arrive by a certain time, then please text or phone the leader that is in charge. That is exhibiting the sense of responsibility. You exhibit this sense of responsibility in your workplace. You need to exercise the same sense of responsibility in the church duties as well. All right. What about ushering? Same thing. When people usher, you know, have a friendly dress, neat and tidy, you know, give a warm handshake, a smile, so on and so forth. Because this will reflect the culture of the church. With sound men, the same thing. Whenever, you know, the things need to be set up, this need to be tested, or the sound equipment, whatever needs to be tested before the worship, well before the worship service starts. The projectionist, same thing. Do not let your mind wander. You know, give to the words. If you are over that, change, you know, accordingly. So, all facets of the church operations, you need to put in your effort. You need to put in your best. Now, what about life group duties? The same thing. If you're on roster, every 2 weeks, you come in, you know, you clean the floor, you clean the toilet, so on and so forth. You know, do it with diligence and with the right spirit. And then for the people who are, what do you call, could I have a few more points, please? I've passed that. Thank you. And then the next one. Yep. Second one, please. Yep. And then I'm coming on to the third one. In terms of life group duties, do it with diligence and do it with all your heart. And for those who are supervising, for the leaders, you know, show a servanthood attitude. You lead by examples. And that is when the people will respect you. And when you go to a life group meeting, you know, prepare your material beforehand for the leaders and for the members. You know, read the material and prepare it before you, so that when you go into the discussion, you know, you are already, you know, in that mode of contributing to the group. As a corporate, as a church, as a corporate body, we must, what we call, exhibit and demonstrate consistency in our excellence and in our faithfulness. And when we do that, the standard of the church will rise from notch 1 to notch 5, from notch 5 to notch 10. This is how it is, how the kingdom of God works. So I beseech you, please be punctual. Right? Even if you first few times late, fine. So say, we live in a culture of grace and forgiveness. God forgives you. We forgives you. And hopefully that culture will further inspire. You are thankful that we have this culture, and therefore you do not feel condemned, but you are inspired to do better next time. So, this is just an example of punctuality. There are so many areas. And all those things, all those people serving in different ministries, please support your leaders. Do those things as been taught over the last 45 minutes. Put in the spirit of excellence and faithfulness. Shall we stand? Can I get a musician to come forward, please? Thank you.